All right, Matthew chapter 6, we're slowly walking through our summer series studying the Lord's Prayer, the most famous prayer ever spoken or ever written down, the Lord's Prayer. We're just kind of looking at phrase by phrase and really getting a deep dive into what does it mean when we pray the Lord's Prayer. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount is where we find this. We'll put it up on the screen, and I want us to pray this together and out loud, all right? Can you guys do better than last service? All right, together and out loud. Ready? This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's pray. Jesus, we ask that you would speak to us today one more time like you have throughout this entire series, helping us know how rich and deep the invitation to prayer really is. We welcome you to speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's good to have some of our team from Latvia back. We had a team in Latvia for the last week working on a Bible school there. Next Sunday, I want to show you some pictures and get a report from what they did. Some of them are still a little sleep deprived, but welcome back to all of our team from Latvia that's here. Today, we're going to look at that one line, if you want to underline it in your Bible, that says, "Give us today our daily bread." That's what we're going to talk about today. And with this prayer request, we turn a corner in the Lord's Prayer. The first three prayer requests set our attention on God, our Father. We're instructed to pray about our Father's name, hallowed be thy name. We're instructed to pray about the Father's kingdom, your kingdom come. We're instructed to pray about the Father's will, your will be done. And then the second half of the Lord's Prayer teaches us that we can pray for ourselves and we can pray for others. So we're told to pray for provision. Give us today our daily bread. To pray for pardon. Forgive us our debts. To pray for protection. Lead us not into temptation. As we just kind of quickly read through the Lord's Prayer, you'll probably notice two words that are common or standouts in each section. There's a common word in the first three prayer requests. That's the word your name, your kingdom, your will. And then you probably notice there's a very common word in the last three prayer requests. The word us, give us, forgive us, lead us. And so with this kind of arrangement, Jesus is teaching us that as we begin in prayer, we begin with God's concern. As we begin in prayer, we begin with what gets God's heart. We begin with the things that God is most concerned about. And then when we kind of finish with what gets God's attention and what God's concern is, and then we move to ourselves and our needs, our daily bread, our forgiveness, our protection from temptation. See, when we pray, we start in heaven, and then we come down to earth. So in the second half of this prayer, we're invited to bring God directly into the largest and the tiniest of the details of our everyday life, the problems we're facing, the situations going on in our normal, ordinary, everyday life. So today, we start looking at the second half of the Lord's Prayer, and we'll focus in, we'll kind of zoom in on the section that says, give us our daily bread, right? But in all of these, give us our daily bread, forgive us our debts, lead us not into temptation, that covers those ideas of protection, of pardon, of protection. And if you think about those three things, they take care of everything in life, right? Provision takes care of my present. Pardon takes care of my past. Protection takes care of my future. Not only that, it takes care of every part of you personally. Provision takes care of your body. Pardon takes care of your soul. Protection takes care of your spirit. So everything that we go through life can legitimately be brought into prayer, that Jesus invites us to pray about everything in life. And I think that's partly why it's such a mistake when we just generally recite the Lord's Prayer by memorizing a bunch of words but not really understanding the meaning of what we're praying. And so all throughout this summer, we've been asking the Holy Spirit to teach us what it means when we pray and how rich the invitation to prayer really is. Two words that stand out to me in this prayer request. I want to talk about those two words real quickly. The words daily and the word bread, right? Daily bread. Let's look at bread first. The word that's translated bread in the original Greek refers to common, ordinary, normal, everyday bread. Bread. I'm personally kind of a white loaf bread kind of person. Anybody else like white bread? How many wheat bread do we have? All right. How many like gluten-free bread people do we have? All right. We'll pray for you that God may deliver you. All right. No, I'm sorry. I'll think about you while I eat my white bread sandwich. But the word bread is just that normal everyday bread. So whatever that normal ordinary bread is for you, just that normal ordinary bread. But at its heart, perhaps it's a prayer for food. It's a prayer to be said before we sit down to eat. But I was thinking about, when was the last time that with hunger pains and stomach grumbling that you prayed wondering if you were going to be able to eat, and out of desperation, God, could you give me something to eat today? You know, apart from like the 21-day fast that many of us start the month of January with and our stomachs grumble, when was the last time you had great concern with where your next meal was going to come from? Maybe that great concern and that prayer of desperation perhaps could maybe be prayed in Haiti or in Venezuela or in India or some hunger-stricken nation. But most of us, we're not worried about where our next meal is going to come from. Most of us have plenty of food in our refrigerators and plenty of food in our pantries. In fact, many of us have probably freezers in the garage with some food in them. And so I think we sometimes take that prayer for daily bread a little for granted. So I want to dig a little deeper today. Did you know that bread in Scripture means more than just literal bread? That bread in Scripture is also a symbol. It's a symbol of the material needs or the physical needs that we would have in life. Bread in the Lord's Prayer means more than just the bread you would slice and make a sandwich out of. It also stands for those physical and those material needs that we have in life. You're not just praying for physical bread. You're praying for all of the needs that you have going on in the reality of your life right now. So the fact that Jesus teaches us and mentions bread teaches us that all of our needs that we have lie inside of the realm of prayer, that we can pray about the needs that we have. I've talking with some people, sometimes they say something like this: well, Pastor, I feel bad praying about my own needs, right? I'll pray with somebody else, I'll agree with somebody else in prayer, but, you know, I'm just a little embarrassed, or, you know, doesn't God have bigger or more important things to do than to listen to all of my whining and all of my needs? Did you know, later on, the writer of Hebrews kind of instructs us that we can come boldly before the throne of God's grace and make our petitions known? That as Jesus mentions this idea of praying for our daily bread, it includes that every one of our needs is inside of the realm of prayer. Praying for your needs isn't outside of prayer. It's included in the prayer that we get to talk to Christ about. So if what you need is food, then you can pray about it. If what you need is a job, then you can pray about it. If what you need is a physical healing, then you can pray about it. Here's the big idea. Let me start it. Because God is God, He will give you what you truly need. All right, there's a little bit more. I'll finish that in just a second. But because God is God, He will give you what you truly need. Second word, bread is, I think, an important word in this passage of Scripture. I think the word daily. Everybody say the word daily. I think the word daily is an important part of this prayer request also. Jesus is teaching us the importance of moment by moment, 100% dependence on God for everything that we need. He's teaching us to learn to depend on God on a day by day by day by day basis. As commentator Matthew Henry says, that really those of us that are followers of Christ, right, that we would learn to have a hand-to-mouth experience of depending on God. A hand-to-mouth experience on depending on God. So here's the big idea. Because God is God, He will give you what you truly need. Listen, when you truly need it. Right? Because God is God, He will give you what you truly need when you truly need it. So kind of with that as a general understanding, let me tell you three heart attributes that we begin to develop as we pray the Lord's Prayer and as we pray, give us today our daily prayer. I think if you pray this and you truly, truly mean this when you pray this, three heart attributes are going to start to grow inside of you, almost like Grinch's little heart that grew, I don't know how many sizes. Maybe our heart will grow in these three ways today. One, gratitude. Gratitude. Gratitude for all of God's provision. Gratitude for all of His provision. I think this first heart attribute comes from the very first word in this prayer request. Give. Give us today our daily bread. Give. This prayer request teaches us that everything that we have comes from God. He is the giver. If someone is doing the giving, it's God doing the giving. It's God becoming the source. It's God bringing the resolution. God is the giver. Everything we have comes from God. Give us today our daily bread. God is the giver. And so gratefulness is a mark of the lives of people that understand everything they have has been given to them by God. God is the giver. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. Look at what Moses says. Let's throw this up on the screen. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has what? Given you. God is the giver. Give us today our daily bread. God is the one who gives. Look at what David writes in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. God is the giver. Look at Psalm 145. Again, David, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. You open your hand. God is the giver. God becomes our source. Have you ever stopped to think about the beautiful splendor of creation? How creative our world is that we live in today. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I have taste buds and I can savor the food that I eat. What if God would have created us without taste buds? And what if God would have created us where all we could eat and nourish ourselves with was mud? Mud for breakfast, mud for lunch, mud for afternoon snack, mud for dinner. And then late at night when your sweet tooth was craving and you wanted that cold bowl of mud before you go to bed. Mud. But no, He didn't. He created this world so beautiful. He painted it in beautiful 4K color. And He said, here, eat, drink. Everything I made, I've put here for you. This whole world is here for you to enjoy. Lying on a field, looking up at the moving clouds. Smile and enjoy it. Your juice running down your cheeks when you bite into a juicy watermelon. Enjoy it. Having grandkids run around your feet and trip you up. Enjoy it when you're at the hospital recovering. Enjoy it. All of those things are a gift from the Almighty God. God is the giver. He is the source. He is the supply. Everything that you have, everything of value that you possess in one way or another came from God. He gave you life. He gave you the ability to work. He gave you strength. He gave you health. He gave you a family. He gave you protection. He gave you the job. Everything you have because he is the giver. And I want to learn to be grateful, right? We teach our children to be grateful when somebody gives them a gift, right? Have you ever had a birthday party and you have the little kids there and they go crazy opening up the presents and they just want to tackle all the presents? As parents, what do we do sometimes as they finish one and before they start the other? We're like, hold on, don't open that one yet. Can you tell Bobby thank you? Oh, thank you. And then they're going to the next one, right? We so quickly forget to be grateful people. How many things has God done for us that we just moved on to the very next moment? We've moved on to the next crisis. We've moved on to the next problem. We've moved on to the next job without realizing God has done an extraordinary thing and he has given me what I needed. What is it that you need? You can talk to the giver. God is the giver. And as I learned to pray this prayer, give us today our daily bread, I realize everything I have, God has given, and I can learn to be grateful for it. I think another heart attribute that begins to grow when we really understand what we're praying is confidence. Confidence in God to meet my daily needs. Confidence in God to meet my daily needs. Again, you can find this principle right smack dab in our prayer request that we're praying today. Give us today our daily bread. We talked a lot about that word daily already. Remember this hand-to-mouth dependence on God, that God will meet my daily needs? Is kind of the experience of the children in Israel when they're walking through the wilderness. Exodus chapter 16 like records this principle so well for us. If you turn in there in your Bible, if you read it this week, you'll discover the children of Israel have just crossed the Red Sea and they're on the other side. They're wandering around in the wilderness and their stomach kind of starts to grumble. They get a little hungry. And so they start complaining. And they're complaining to Moses, what? Were there not enough tombs back in Egypt to bury us that we had to come out to the desert to die? We're hungry. Right? So they're complaining to Moses. So Moses goes to God, right? Because he's the giver. And so Moses is like, hey, God, I got a problem with your people. Right? And God's like, well, you're not the only one that has a problem with them. And so God says, well, hey, tell them to get ready. Tell them to get ready because I'm going to provide for them. And so God does. So at night, quail, right? Quail would come flying in low to the ground and would land there and they'd catch it, shoot it, I don't know. But they had to have quail to eat. And the next morning, the Jews would wake up and the dew would lift off the ground. And they would find these wafers that kind of tasted like honey crackers, manna. Every day, there was enough manna for them to eat. So God gives them very specific instructions. He says, go out and get as much manna as you need for yourself and for your family. But don't get more than what you need. Why? Because if you get more than what you need and it's unused, tomorrow morning you'll wake up and it'll be worm infested and rotten. But on the Sabbath, on the day before the Sabbath, you can collect 2 days' worth. But anyone who tries to hoard extra manna will end up with a rotting mess. Have you ever realized that learning to trust is a hard lesson to learn sometimes? Trust that what somebody says they will actually do. The word just to trust is a hard lesson. Could you learn to trust God saying just get what you need today? Maybe when your stomach's grumbling, when you see the big need, when the bank account's empty, right? If I was placed there in the story in Exodus chapter 16 with my 4 boys and I'm hungry and my stomach's been grumbling and I wake up and I see honey crackers all over the place, I would have told my boys, y'all go get wheelbarrows and fill those things full. I know God said he would provide some more tomorrow, but I just don't know, right? I want to store this stuff up. For me, I probably would have gone through 2 weeks of having to clean out worm-infested wheelbarrows of rotting manna. until I finally trusted. You know what? God said he would provide every day. And I'm finding out every day there's some more manna out there on the ground. I'm going to start to finally trust God. Right? Some of us, that lesson of trusting God to meet our day-by-day-by-day needs is still a work in progress. We don't like to live the way that Jesus is talking about here. We don't like to live day by day. We'd rather have pension plans and stocks and bonds. We would rather have insurance policies and retirement plans and a guarantee of a secure future. If we had our way, this prayer request would be like, hey, God, give me my weekly bread on Monday. Or God, give me my monthly bread on the first of every month. Or for those of you that maybe we make annual budgets, right? God, give me my annual bread before January 15th so that I can plan out the week. But, right, that's kind of the heart of where we're at in this tension of learning to trust God. Sometimes it's like, well, God, if you fill my bank account, then I'll trust you. God, if you let me land a job, then I'll trust you. God, if you'll bring that healing in, then I'll trust you. But God is teaching us to depend on him moment by moment, day by day. Life is uncertain. Any of us that have been around for a while understand how uncertain life can be. Most of us maybe don't have enough savings to endure a month if we lose a job. You can be doing fine one day, feeling great, and the doctor calls you and says the tests were positive. We have some bad news. We got to talk about your future. Life can be so uncertain. And maybe perhaps one of the reasons why those uncertainties of life happen, those detours of life happen, those waiting rooms of life happen, maybe they're there to help us transition from self-sufficiency to God's sufficiency. Maybe they're there to help us move from self-reliance to God-reliance. Maybe they're there to help us understand that we don't need to trust in our own ability, but rather trust in his ability. Not long ago, I was talking with a gentleman in our church who owns his own company, and I was asking him how things were going. And he kind of just glanced and said, well, a whole lot slower than we've ever been. In fact, I don't remember a time we've ever been this slow. I was like, well, how are you handling that? What's going on? Well, you know what? I know God's going to meet every need that we have. He's learning something the rest of us can all learn from, to discover that God will meet our day-to-day needs, right? Because God is God. He'll give me what I truly need when I truly need it. Does this mean that we don't plan? No, absolutely not. Plan. Planning is very biblical. Plan. Make a good plan. What it means is you shouldn't worry ahead, right? Go ahead and plan ahead, but don't worry ahead. Plan ahead, but don't worry ahead. The whole point of asking God for our daily bread is to teach us to take life one day at a time and know that God is our source. So I can learn to be grateful for all of God's provision. I can have a confidence that God will meet every one of my needs. And then the third heart attribute that grows when we really understand what we're praying, give us today our daily bread. We begin to grow in generosity towards others in need. Generosity towards others in need. That principle comes right out of that little three-letter word right there. Give us today our daily bread. It doesn't say, give me my daily bread. That would be a completely different prayer. We're never invited to pray for ourselves alone. In fact, have you ever noticed all of the one another passages of scripture you'll find in the Bible where to encourage one another, pray for one another, help one another? It's all about one another. And here one more time, we're not praying for ourselves alone. Every time you pray this prayer, you're invited, encouraged, even commanded to pray in concert with brothers and sisters because we all eat from the same table. This prayer takes us away from the narrow focus of our own lives and it opens up our eyes and our heart to the world that is around us. This prayer goes so countercultural to the grain of like marketplace society that we live in today, our marketplace that says only the tough survive. You've got to look out for yourself, make sure no one's gaining on you. Those who work the hardest get the most. The world says get to the top any way that you can. Only the tough survive. Watch out for number one. And so totally opposite to what Jesus is teaching us to pray here. Here's four principles, real quickly, four principles that underlie this call to generosity to those that are around us. Principle number one, everything you have comes from God, right? Because God is the giver. Everything you have comes from God. Principle number two, everything that is given to you in trust. Everything you have has been given to you in trust. Principle number three, the blessings that you have are not given to you for your own personal benefit alone. The blessings that you have are not given to you for your own personal benefit alone. And principle number four, what is given to you in trust is given that you might share it with others. What is given to you in trust is given to you that you might share it with others. What you have is simply not to be used for yourself alone, but to find ways to be of benefit to others along your journey. You might call this biblical economics 101, that simply says what you have is loaned to you that you might give to other people. What you have is loaned to you that you might give to other people. So to pray, give us today our daily bread, is to see the world that is around you. It implies that you're not praying for yourself alone. To say our imparts a spirit of generosity into your prayer. See, most of us will have what we want today. We'll have what we need for tomorrow. Most of us have made a plan for our days to come after that. But when we pray, give us today our daily bread, we realize we're not in this world alone. And this prayer, similar to the song we sang earlier, is asking the Lord to lead us to those who are hurting around us. What do you have that can be a blessing to someone else? I think this petition, I'll wrap up with this. This petition, like all of our other prayer requests in the Lord's Prayer, open up a whole new way of looking at life, at seeing life, at feeling what God feels, at praying what God wants us to pray. It's more than just pretty words printed on an art piece on the wall of your house or a prayer that we memorized years ago and as children. It's a rich invitation to pray. And as we learn to pray, we develop gratitude to the giver because we realize everything we have comes from God. We develop a confidence that God will meet all of our needs. And we develop generosity towards others. Gratitude, confidence, generosity. And if you pray this way, I think that's where you'll end up. Gratitude, confidence, generosity. And that's not a bad place to be. Remember this, because God is God, He'll give me what I truly need when I truly need it. Let me give you an action step as we get ready to close. I'm kind of a task person. I like to write down a to-do list at the beginning of the day. I like to scratch through that list and watch it just kind of dwindle down. And I like to chart my course for the week. Maybe you're that way too. How many people would say you're like a to-do list kind of person? All right. Good. Lots of you guys. The rest of you, we invite you to join us. All right. What I'd like for you to do is just think through your week. What are all the tasks you have to complete this week? Maybe they're work tasks. You gotta go to, maybe you got team meetings at work and you've been scheduled to present a new proposal. Maybe you're working sales, and so you got so many cold calls you got to make, and you got to meet face to face, and you got to secure some sales because you need that commission check to pay some bills. Maybe it is bills this week you got to pay, right? And so you're writing down, you listed out the bills that you got to pay this week. Maybe you got a doctor's appointment this week. Maybe you got a meeting with the attorney. Think through your week. And what if we turned that task list into a prayer list? Because Jesus teaches us to pray about all of our normal, everyday needs. So you could pray, God, I'm going to the conference room. I got to make a presentation to the board. We need a new tactic. Would you give me creativity and wisdom? Help me lead that team meeting well. Maybe, God, I got to make 200 phone cold calls this week. Help me to land a few sales. Maybe things have been unraveling and you know you got a difficult meeting with the attorney, some difficult decisions that need to be made this week. And God, give me wisdom, but give me grace. Give me peace. Why? Because God is the giver. God, I got to pay the bills this week, and I'm looking for a job. Would you give me a job? I think when we start to think through the task list and we make that a prayer list, I think you'll start to see how God supplies our day by day by day by day needs. So if you want to go a step further, don't just write a task list that becomes a prayer list, but next to that prayer list, you can have those answer journals where God begins to meet and answer every single one. I had a meeting about a week and a half ago with a young man in our church who's been looking for employment. He came and you know, if you're going a few weeks, several weeks between jobs, or really without even the promise of a job, you know the fear that comes in. Eventually the money's going to run out. When you have a bunch of interviews with no follow-ups, you start to wonder. Worry becomes real. So we met, and I mean, I'm not a job coach. I'm not a headhunter. But I said we can pray because I truly believe God is the giver and God's the one who can open the door. And then this last week, I get the text message that says, guess who God just gave a job to? Right? God's the giver. He's the giver. He's the giver. He's the giver. He's the giver. I'm so grateful for all God's done. When you see your task list turn into a prayer list, turn into an answered list, be grateful for what He's done. So this is how I want us to close. This is what I want to do. A lot of times at the end of our service, as people are leaving, our prayer team's down front, and we say, if you have a need in your life, we'd like to invite you to come forward and pray. Today we're just going to do that corporately, right in our seats. If you have a need in your life, maybe you're looking for a job. Maybe you need some sales to come in. Maybe you need things to pick up. Maybe there's something relationally going on in your family you need God to answer. Maybe you need wisdom. There's decisions you need to make, and you need wisdom. Pray like James invites us to pray. He who lacks wisdom to ask God, who gives generously to all. God is the giver. Maybe you're sick in your body and you need God to touch your physical body. But if you have a need in your life, right in your seat, I want to just invite you to stand up, and we're going to pray together as a church that God would meet every need. You ready? If you have a need, go ahead and stand. Go, 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 go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen. Amen. Here's what I want us to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to just lead us in a prayer, but you know specifically what you need God to do. And as I lead us in this prayer, would you be very specific and ask God what you need Him to do today in your daily life? So Jesus, in this moment right now, we just stand with gratefulness for everything you have already done and provided, humbled before you that you would even give us the honor to talk with you, but with a great expectation that you will meet every need that we have. So we come in this moment with gratefulness, with humility and confidence that he who is able will meet every need that we have. So Lord, some of that, I pray that you would bring the funds. Some of it, I pray that you would bring the right relationships. Some of it, I pray that you would bring the right opportunity. Some of it, I pray that you would bring just emotional healing. Some of it, I pray that you'd bring the right connection. Some of it, I pray, Lord, that your divine healing would just begin to move. Lord, the right thing at the right time in your way. Lord, there's others of us, perhaps we're not standing, but you've blessed us. And I pray that you would prepare our hearts to be a blessing to others. Help us to realize the blessing that we walk in is not to be hoarded, but is to be stewarded. So there's others around us that would benefit from what we have. So Lord, I pray as we pray, give us today our daily bread. Let us understand who the our is and let us do our part. Lord, in all of this, let us be grateful for everything that you have done. Let us walk in confidence that you will meet every need that we have. And then let us walk in blessing to others with a generous heart. We love you. We believe your word and your invitation to pray. And we ask that you would do what a sovereign God can do. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me invite everyone to stand with us. Pray, think when you really start to pray that way, watch gratefulness develop. Be grateful for all that God does. Your confidence in his ability to see you through, I think, is going to grow, and you'll walk in a blessing and generosity towards others. As we get ready to go, let me remind you one more time, this Wednesday night at 7 p.m., we will have our summer electives. And so we look forward to seeing you. We believe summertime is a growing time where our faith in Christ grows. And so we got a great assortment of some classes. You can check the backside of your bulletin. There's some new classes that start up in July, and there's some carryover classes in the month of July. So take this summer and the next 3 weeks and let your faith continue to grow in Christ. Let me pray for you. Jesus, as we go, may we go in your grace and in your peace. May you cause your face to smile upon us and lead us by your purpose, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you soon.